All right. Welcome back to Deep Thoughts, ladies and gentlemen. Looks like I'm sneaking in another episode. Technically speaking, I could, let's see, do one more. But soon to move out, so this could be either the last one in the backyard or second to last one. But today I had an experience I want to share with you, which is going to lead into the subject we're going to talk about. So my medical regimen to stay healthy is, as I've said a bunch of times, I take Solaray vitamin C, 1,000 milligrams, 8-hour time release once a day, just 1,000 milligrams. If I'm sick, I'll jack that up to 2 or 3 or 4 a day. And I take a zinc copper pill from the same brand. And then that's usually my pill-popping regimen on the vitamin side. And if I get a little sniffle, if the planes that make clouds, make a bunch of clouds and it rains on everybody, we tend to get a little bit of like pH balance imbalance. Of course, it'll happen anyway, naturally, with just hot, cold, hot, cold, hot, cold. And you get a lot of that in California. Your body gets pretty acclimated to it. But if I get a sniffle, I go get Claritin D, 24-hour pills. That way I take one, 24 hours, usually in a worst case scenario, I take it for a couple days. Well, it just rained here a few days ago. Got kind of a sniffle. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to get another box because I need to have one on me. And so I go down to the drugstore. Our local store is called Walgreens. Some of you probably have them in your backyard. I go in there. And about 50% of the people are, you know, still koofing up with their panties on their face. And this dude's waiting in line to get some prescriptions for his wife. Place pharmacy part is just absolutely clear. Say this one guy in front of me, he gets immediately handled as soon as I walk up. Now, aside from, there's a bunch of things that happen in this moment, which I think are just, part of it's hilarious and part of it's like, oh my God, why haven't I noticed this before? The first thing was that this woman behind the counter, I don't know what the deal was, she couldn't figure out how to give him his wife's prescription. Apparently, she had, just listening to the conversation, he was a very loud talker. She has two things that she takes. She's been taking them for 15, 16 years, and he's just changed because their drugstore closed or whatever, they moved or whatever. She can give him one of them, but she can't give him the second one. I mean, this shit goes on for 10, 15 minutes, which is excruciating when you're standing there just watching the experience happen. So the part of the irony was, okay, these are the experts that can't even fucking work out how to sell you something, but you're trusting them with telling you should get a regimen of medical procedure on your body. Like I always tell you guys, the amount of pancake flippers that turn into nurses who are suddenly fucking experts is off the chart. And no offense to anyone who does their homework. I just think that being a nurse in this world should require at least the first 4 years of pre-med. I mean, you need to be damn near master's degree, maybe just shy of the PhD. I know some friends that went through that class, somehow passed, but speak broken English, you know, really? Anyway. But here's the second thing that was the almost a Soylent Green moment. In the back of most drugstores, they have these, you know, pharmacies in the back. There's usually like a security door right in the back. And I can see through the hazard glass that that's a pantry for the overflow of filled prescriptions, all in white baggies, all labeled. And I'm watching a woman work the window through the glass. And she's feeding from that source, right? And so I'm looking at, I don't know. It's a whole wall of prescriptions through this window. Now, there's already a big wall behind the main window internally, and I know that around the corner is a couple, you know, filing cabinet mechanisms that are all collapsible and stuff. And so I'm thinking about, and this window is just boom, 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 boom. I got a line building up behind me because the guy in front of me is taking forever. Me, it just takes 2 seconds, right? I'm fortunate that way. But I'm thinking about the tons, literally the 2,000 pound times whatever amount of drugs going out of this place every single day. And society thinks it's fucking great. Society thinks it's won a lottery. Well, it's so convenient. We get down there and get all of our chemicals and put them in our bodies. Because we're hospital folk, you know? Second we get a little sniffle, we go to the hospital. Second we get a flu, we go to the hospital. We go to the hospital for everything that happens to us. Meanwhile, the billionaires of the world are like, fuck hospitals, man. Why is that? Oh, I don't trust doctors. And when I was younger and I heard that phrase, I was like, man, who's this dumb guy, right? And I didn't even go to the hospital either. My father told me when I was really young, he goes, Lowe's, we don't go to the hospital. Unless it's like, you're coughing up a lung, you got a broken arm, you had a heart attack. Otherwise, just walk it off, right? And I said, well, why are you telling me this? And he goes, well, because your mom's side of the family had money. And not that much, but for a little town, it was definitely capable of going to the doctor all the time or having the doctor come to the house when they used to visit you. And they go in for every little sniffle. And now that we have seen the last 2 years of absolute fucking insanity, you know that you go in with something minor. And if you can get out of the other side of the exit, you're lucky. But even if you go through, dermatology's got everyone zapping cells off their bodies. Now they've got the index for cancer. So everyone's got cancer now, and everybody needs a little chemo, and everybody needs all their bullshit. Wasn't it Ice Cube that said, and no Vaseline? He's getting money at your ass like a motherfucking ready teller. That's what we are going into hospitals. I know a bunch of people just unsubbed. Oh God, you said motherfucker. That's what's going on. These pharma companies have absolutely played their hand out in public. But you need to understand it's the same hand they've always been playing since the very beginning of the pharmaceutical industry. Not herbs and science, you know, and chemists that go back thousands of years actually trying to heal people with God's natural things that grow out of the ground, ground up so you can consume them and be healthy. But as soon as was the 1920s pretty much the United States, where they tried to create a polio vaccine and killed every single person with it. Game was on, man. And they just keep making these hospital worshiping shows on TV, don't they? Oh, gosh, is this miraculous, you know? It's on your TVs, it's in your movies, mainly TV, though. It's in all your sciences, it's in a bunch of commercials. It's in pamphlets. It's inside the inserts of your magazines. We got this saying, NPC, which only for the newcomers, I have to say, it means non-playable character. There's a few other interpretations of that. But this means playing a video game. And a lot of times, you know, they're massive multiplayer games where most of the players you're looking at are other people in their living rooms or their bedrooms playing you. And you get to say, hey, what's going on? Which is now ubiquitous to gaming, but when I started in games, that was very special local area network playing. But we're calling people in the world these NPCs because we run into human beings that seem to lack any characteristic of being alive. They look like utter robots, the way they behave. I should say look like, but they behave like utter robots. You try to get any depth out of them, there's nothing. The amount of people on the internet that within one conversation will loop 4, 5, 6 times trying to make a point. And it's like, they say the same exact words. They're not even rephrasing it and coming at it from a different angle so that maybe your brain clicks if it didn't click the first time. It's off the charts. There is something physically wrong with the brain of human beings right now that hasn't been diagnosed. I see it all the time. I can't even understand how someone can sit and listen to like 107 talk. No personal attack on that guy, but his droning on and on and on and not making a point. Look at your watch every once in a while and find out how much time is passing, because that shit is invaluable. Your time is absolutely invaluable to waste it with weirdos basically making up stuff as they go along. Why? But that's not what this episode's about. There's all kinds of theories about the NPC. And I think all should be considered, to be honest. There's a way you can configure your mind, if you're awake, such that you look at these folks, if you know them, And you can adopt for a split second the matrix theory of reality, that this is a computer simulation of some sign. Computer probably being a relative term to describe a machine that calculates and processes things. Maybe they call it something different. We can now see on the horizon with quantum computing that it's coming. Before the end of this century, you will have a reality just as vivid as the one I'm experiencing right now and the one you're experiencing right now. All your senses can be controlled. And this is even if the world goes back to being a good place. This will be a form of entertainment. It'll be just like, you know, Ansel Adam pictures turning into Michael Bay's Transformer movies. You know, I mean, imagine the difference of taking someone who's only seen still photographs in the mid-1800s and taking them to go see something in 2020. I mean, I just saw the old, Teenage Ninja Turtle movie from 2014. Oh my God, the CG is like off the chain. Well, Michael Bay produced it, that's why. So in the Matrix theory, you have this theory that we are the very few folks that have basically purchased the space to be here, or we're being forced to be here, like Westworld, and everyone else are the hosts. And so they have very limited programming. And so it's the reason why that they don't contribute much to your life, because their goal is not to contribute to your narrative. They're not there to ever change your path in life. You are to work with other real human beings, or whatever you want to call us, real people, to craft the destiny of the world, to create something, to inspire. We're supposed to marry real people. We're not supposed to fall in love and marry an NPC. But I've never been married, but definitely fall in love with some people I think were NPCs, right? They act erratic from time to time. As you try to apply logic to them, they just start to explode. They can get angry. They can get physical with you. It's because I believe that their programming absolutely loops in on itself, and there is no programming to behave like a real being. Now, the other more popular definition of an NPC is simply someone who's a parrot, as David Icke would call them, a repeater instead of a reporter. They are simply living a script that they're given through the news circuit. They're not journalists. They sit on TV. They get famous. They don't research anything that they say, nor do they care. They just get their $40 million a year, go home. That is the classic definition that's going around with the gray-faced meme. That's cool. I mean, that's what we call a sellout previously. But now let's think about this. With the Matrix theory, you can pretty much endorse any concept of reality because it is all simulated. There certainly is a lot of rules on our simulation. We don't have free-flowing access to things that are out of the norm, right? We don't have just aliens around because we want to meet them. We don't talk to, I can't have a spirit of someone who's passed in the chair. It's in front of me here. That's not allowed. So there are rules if we're in a matrix. The supernatural experiences that some of us have had does indicate that there's something very organic about our reality, and there is a way to slip in here and there. If all the vibes are correct, if you're vibrating in the proper frequency, they can get to you. However, looking through this window at all the drugs that were in these baggies, and they're pretty big bags. I'd say, you know, I don't know, 3-inch base by probably a 4 or 5-inch width. And it comes up into a white little baggie with their little receipt and name on it, right? We know that we have been attacked by chemicals more so in the last 50 years than ever in the history of mankind. It's so powerful. This information is so powerful and so coveted that when I re-uploaded my video on toxins, they banned it. It's on this channel and you can watch it. When I uploaded Codex Elementarius, they banned it. They said it was medical misinformation, when absolutely everything in that video is read right out of the World Trade Organization's paperwork. Pretty funny, right? Oh, they better hope there's no litigation in the future for those rights that were stifled through false allegations. But it just shows you. It just shows you the volume of misinformation that we get about everyday things. So, I've told you guys several times, you know, there are all kinds of ways to destroy your body, right? And a lot of times, especially in America, probably Europe too, I know it's in Europe as well. Things like drinking is your God-given right to drink. And I would never say that you don't have the right to do that with your body if you want to. Don't think I'm ever going to go in that direction. But you need to know what they're not telling you, which is when you starve your body of what it needs to function in any way, shape, or form, asphyxiation, whippets, heroin, cocaine, probably even weed, you're overstimulating your brain to a degree with weed that it shouldn't be stimulated more than it's supposed to be stimulated, at least to those mega levels. I mean, this shit is chronic these days, man. Every single year, it goes up in potency. You don't think there's any repercussions for that kind of stuff? So imagine being awake today, but you've got a bad chemical regimen, and you become an NPC. You self-induce a chemical breakdown in your body. The brain cells, what would you think? Are brain cells like a maglock or a Mack truck or some armor-plated tank? Or are they one of the most fragile mechanisms in the universe? Microscopic in size. And it controls how your brain works. Whether or not you have a thought that is one-dimensional, two-dimensional, three-dimensional, or infinite. That is your key to the universe, right? All routing through the pineal gland. Not the pineal gland. Learn how to fucking speak English. So you brush with fluoride and that shit gets all caught up and crystallized in your pineal gland. Now it doesn't work that well. You take your yearly shots for the flu, which have organic mercury in them, and it's so perfectly calibrated to destroy the coax around your neuron that now the neuron is exposed to the immune system and just the very turbulent nature of the internals of the body, and it destroys it. Oh, if you challenge yourself and you keep thinking, you know, you can rebuild a new one, but that shit never left your brain in the first place. So it's like it's sort of like the guy that works the slave yard with the shotgun or the chain gang with the shotgun. That guy never goes away. So if you break free from the chains, he's just going to rechain you back up. And in this particular analogy, it's the opposite. The dude is destroying your brain. Aluminum, well, that's just something that goes in your brain and clogs everything up. The one nano-sized graphene hydroxide will shred your brain like microscopic razor blades that are just shredding every single part of your body. If it clusters together, it can easily punch a hole in one of your arteries, punch a hole in your heart valves. If it clusters together, is nothing it can't do to your body. It can dissolve you if you just kept pouring it on top of yourself. That's almost not a figure of speech. You know, usually when you grow up and you get older and you're starting to mature out of your shell, and this will always happen to you, especially if you listen to this show habitually, you're one of these people, I guarantee it. You were young, I don't know what age. I mean, you could be really young and get this experience, but you start looking at older people talk and behave, and you start to realize, damn, I'm only 8 years old, but I think I'm smarter than that guy. I don't have all of his life experience, right? I don't know how to fix a car and shingle a roof and do whatever, but in terms of like intellectual capacity, I can just hear how this guy talks, and it's awful. Then you hit your teen years and your early 20s, and if you keep persistently increasing the volume of your brain and your knowledge base, and you learn, you know, cause and effect, and you didn't get hooked on monster drinks and McDonald's food and all this other crap, and you didn't have a parent that jabbed a bunch of chemicals in your body, then you're going to be a superhuman on Earth merely because you are a pure human. You know, what have they been saying? They've been saying that the untampered with sperm of a man is now selling it like, it goes up every single day, but thousands of times more than the other stuff that people have in their system. You know, I made an episode on alcoholism way back in season 1. because I was dealing with it while I was making the episode. My girlfriend at the time was just having issues. And it had apparently gained the issues because that was her identity from teenage years, right? Sweet person. Just couldn't let go and was chemically addicted to this stuff. And what I started to understand is that, you know, I bumped into several of these people in a row. And I just had them in my life, no matter what, they're just around all the time. I don't think it was that way a long time ago, where everyone is just, not just having a cocktail every once in a while, but habitually pounding this stuff. Times get hard, booze sells. Just to take the edge off, right? Well, like I've always said, it gives you brain damage at a microscopic increment. And so why are you drinking? You're drinking because life's hard, so that takes the edge off. Well, then your brain starts to get that 0.01% of your brain that gets destroyed by this stuff constantly. It can't regrow. If you're drunk, you're not using your brain intellectually, so you're not manufacturing any new brain cells, which is what is required. And so then when you're trying to live your life, you can't compute anything. You can't figure out a way to escape the oppression or the pressure that's on your back. It gets worse. And what do you do when it gets worse? Drink more. Drink more often. And it's just this slippery slope. What, you know, talk to anyone who's been addicted to methamphetamines, right? It's just it's a sled that just goes straight to hell. And sometimes people, you know, pull out of it, but we have now an epic proportion of meth addicts in the United States of America beyond any scale we've had because of the last 2 years. Friend of mine, story time. Friend of mine's a general contractor here in Orange County. He works with a chain of stores that have some in Los Angeles, and he was given an address recently. He goes into this building. He says it looked like a big giant bank, but he goes inside with his partner, and it's just burned out. Like little fires burned up the walls. And he goes, there's like 100 homeless people living in this building, downtown Los Angeles. He says the amount of hypodermic needles everywhere. The amount of excrement of both one and two everywhere. Place smelled awful. He then realizes he's got the wrong address. But he said, how is it that any one of these people in this building are going to escape this black hole that they're in? We got kids at home curled up in balls in their beds, just smoking bowls all day long, right? Living off sometimes the check from the government. Sometimes they'll work a few hours to make a little bit more drug money. Just weed. Maybe that's not the way you do it. Maybe you're a very successful weed smoker. But some of these kids haven't even graduated high school yet, and they just lost about a year and a half of high school, and whatever they got in that half year that they attended is the worst education they've ever had in their life. Teachers, the quality of teachers today couldn't be worse today. I mean, it is like, you could say, you could go up to the admission board of the teachers union at this point, and you could barely prove that you got a degree to teach, but you actually are a convicted sex offender, and then that's the second thing that's going to get you to have your tenure in two days, right? Unbelievable. Do you have agendas that you want to press on our kids? You're hired. Are you shallow? You're hired. Do you let people tell you who to hate and who to love? You're hired. Obviously, the system is rigged against us. We know that. But I think what we're seeing, again, I am seeing this weird repetition thing. I'm going to repeat it. I see it all the time. I don't know if they're just new to vlogging or whatever the deal is. I see some folks that have some major channels, hundreds of thousands of subscribers, because it's just all incidental information. But they will make a point. Then they will loop and say the same exact words, and they will loop up to 4 to 5 times. These are people teaching 3D. These are people trying to tell you something about the world or whatever. And you're sitting there going, okay, I can understand if you lost your train of thought every once in a while and you did that because you're just trying to, what was I going to say? Okay. But when you edit the video, you should see the repetition. and just cut, you know, just cut yourself off, cut to the next frame where you actually see something unique. And again, coming at it with different words makes sense. You're trying to get people to see it from different directions. You see people drive around with these panties on their face by themselves. Now, if they're Uber drivers and whatever, I understand they want to show up at a concerned citizen's house, you know, showing them that they're protecting their breath from something that won't protect the person anyway. But I understand you buy into that lunacy because you don't study anything. I get it. At least I understand why that's happening. But people driving around willingly. I went and got some food at a restaurant the other day, and all the kids have taken their panties off their face except this one kid, and he has the crappy white one on, and then he has a black one on over that. And it was like, he's double pantying his face. This kid's probably anywhere from 16 to 18 years old. And I could just look at his face and you could tell he's just terrified. He's terrified. He's going to catch something. Where's this coming from? Let me propose to you something that I've heard discussed in various levels and different times in my life. We always talk about, you know, levels of consciousness. We as citizens talk about it. Medical community really can't get into it because it's more of an abstract thought, but they have done it. They have funded organizations that look into the brain and how it works because they're trying to control us, right? It's always those little secret projects with, you know, a couple $1 billion to throw away. I understand. They want to figure it out. And they're always finding results. Always, every time. Now imagine that they classify the brain of various individuals. Whether it's looking at their brain after they die, which, you know, they keep all these famous people's brains around. It's so weird. And then it could be just an aptitude test of some sort. And then looking at the accomplishments in their life. And then it's probably as interesting for them to find brilliant people who had a lot of output in their existence, as well as find the people that were seemingly born in great families with lots of money and opportunity, but turned out to be either intentionally crappy people or just unintentionally unachieving. Nothing really happened. Never even got married, never had a family. Nothing. It's going to be very interesting for them to find out what medically makes the difference between the person that nosedived in their life and a person who excelled and surpassed all perceivable barriers. Once they figure out the delta, the biological delta between those two states, they got us. Then they develop to induce the issue. And they also, if it depends on how they behave, right? It depends on how they want to do this. If they literally said, imagine, again, you're at the table, they're designing this program, and somebody just says, you know, I really wish that all the stupid people would be dead. Yeah, that would be great, wouldn't it? That'd be a lot of people, right? Probably the most people on planet Earth. Yeah, it would, wouldn't it, man? Oh my God. You know, we're at this point, we're having this conversation. This is made up, of course. We're not really doing anything to make people stupid. They're just stupid. Bad genes that even when they were blessed with money and opportunity and possessions, they fell into those possessions to become lazy and stupid. Whereas these people over here had the same benefits, economic windfalls. They did buy a few fancy things, but in the end, they really continued pushing themselves just like they were poor. Like Andy Kaufman washing dishes in Hollywood while he's one of the number one comedians on television during his day in Taxi, right? So they want to take out all the dumb people. And they might say, okay, well, what are some of the other attributes of dumb people? And they might say, well, usually on average, people who aren't rich, who have been still living in their indigenous land, you know, someone can migrate and they're living in a brand new country, they don't speak the language, and it's tough, right? There's always all these exceptions. But overall, if someone is living in the town they were born in or very close by, and they still don't make any money, and they don't come up with something to correct that issue. Again, we've talked about You know, you can be poor and be the happiest, most wonderful, perfect human on planet Earth. So just read between the lines here. This is how they would think, right? So we'll go after the poor, and we'll go after the lazy. And we're going to make products that they typically want to consume. But a smart person looks at things differently, like we do, and they know that fast food is probably not good for you. They just know. They know that if they didn't eat a bunch of sugar when, you know, back in the 1850s, all the way back to the beginning of man, to suddenly introduce a birthday cake that everyone can eat every single day, they know that's not good either. They exercise, they take care of things, you know, they get plenty of sunlight, whatever it is. Those are the smart people, and all these other people aren't. So they devise a multi-tiered system to get us to pay them. This is the funny part. To pay them to ingest horrible products. You know, McDonald's, when you pull through the drive-thru and you look at the window, and they've got this rig so that the sticker's a little further back than your window would be to get your food out the hole, right? There's a sticker on there. I mentioned it once before, and it says, you know, so we have chemicals in our food that cause cancer. Just so you know, right? The odd thing is, I don't remember that sticker being visible anywhere when you walk into the place. In the drive-thru, they got to tell you some for some reason, right? Someone, a friend of mine, just posted on Telegram the chemical name. It's this huge chemical name I couldn't name if I wanted to. But it causes cancer. It is in all of the Golden Arch food. We, again, have heard natural sweeteners from a Pepsi company have potentially, just allegedly, kidney cells out of living babies, and you can't use supposedly painkillers on the child during this extraction. You know, I don't understand how they're getting this stuff. Okay. Whatever. But I've seen plenty of testimonies of affidavits and indictments where people have had to admit under oath that human flesh is getting into the food supply of America, of at least America. Can you imagine that satanic ritual of getting people to eat people and they don't have any clue that that's what's happening? If any of that's true, then by God, I don't know too many people over 20 years old in America that haven't consumed that content. So they rig a system. And everybody goes down slowly. But of course, people aren't happy they're going down, and they're sometimes noticing that they're going down. You could have had a bright future, but you adopted one food supply because you just thought it's easy, it's convenient, and everything starts going downhill. Your frequency starts to dim. Your pineal gland maybe is full of a bunch of pollutants. Your brain may be getting drank away. And again, I think that if you keep a lot of other persistent chemicals out of your body, then your body can repair from a drink. But if you inject yourself with stuff that's going to permanently exist in those regions of your body and constantly destroy you, and you speed up the destructive process, you could be facing a huge issue. And you could go from being perceived as a true interactive human being to an NPC. And it's all chemically done to you. I think what's interesting is one of the twists of their methodologies is to do this. They make you feel fortunate to consume your demise. You feel fortunate. When you walk into a bar like Cheers and everybody knows your name, you feel fortunate. Again, take care of the rest of your body and you might be able to slip past this little radar here, but I know a lot of people that don't. I think it is very clear that that's what's going on. I think you know that too. Nothing new. I mentioned that book the woman read the other day that was written in 1981, where that was apparently the goal that they had by that time. Was it 41 years ago? 41 years ago, that was their plan. And of course, there's a bunch of low-hanging fruit they can throw out there. When they tell you the stuff that's good for you is bad for you, and stuff that's bad for you is good for you. And you feel fortunate. I went to the dermatologist and he found so much cancer on my body. I'm getting all kinds of treatments and I'm disrupting my body. The funny thing was one of my grandmothers fell for that, you know, the cancerous cells on your nose thing. All a scam. I met some folks here when I first moved here in 03. It was a couple that sold the machines that actually diagnosed that. And they flat looked me in the face. They got out of the business when they figured this out, but they said, this is all bullshit. 100%. Now, the idea is they're going to remove a cell off your body without injuring the neighboring cells. I think that that's what we call impossible. So it's a routine that, you know, oh, you got a little bit of, you got a burn spot on your mattress or on your furniture or on your clothes. Well, let me get that off. I got my blowtorch here. I'm just going to burn a bigger hole to get rid of the original hole. See, it's gone. And they go, well, yeah, you put another bigger hole there. Well, hey, that's what we call therapy. Now give me your money. Getting done with no Vaseline. That's why it is so utterly important to understand how the human body works so that you can preventively interpret things and make connections. You know, there's this weird thing where they want to say that you should feel guilty for trying to self-diagnose. And the doctors, it's funny, their God complex is so a part of their identity, right? It's almost as if they had an insecurity that they were trying to overcome, which is why they have the IQ in the academic world to pass all of these, you know, narrative tests, right? Being taught the opposite of how the body works in a lot of cases, such that when you walk into a clinic and you tell them, I own my body. I have been experiencing this. I do this, this happens. I do that, this happens. Now, again, if you do your homework, you have a chance in hell, or better, to actually know something that's real. Now, people that don't do any research on anything, they might have a good instinct. They may not know the chemical reason why their eyesight goes bad when they stuff a whole pint of ice cream in their mouth. And, you know, their blood sugar levels go nuts and that inflammatory can't process the sugar fast enough before it starts entering your bloodstream, thus swelling up all of your organs, especially your eye, and now nothing focuses until you produce enough insulin to get that stuff embedded in your cells. There's a lot of great channels out there on YouTube that are doctors who are, one, very fit themselves on camera, which is good, right? I mean, would you take medical advice from someone who has a body you wouldn't want to have? My other regimen personally is to talk to older people who are in the medical profession. I want someone with 35 years experience in a specialization. Someone that if I didn't want to talk about medicine, they're excited. Let's talk about something else. Let's talk forever. Let's come back to medicine. Now that I've figured out what your character and your dimension is all about, you're a good guy. You want to help humanity. And you question things. That's good. One of the benefits of working for a pharmaceutical company for a couple of years was sitting at lunch with people that have nothing to gain by passing around lies. They're not selling any product to me. And so I heard all kinds of stuff, you know, like contagions through cell shedding. Yeah, there's some things like leprosy and that kind of stuff where the growth is actually on the on your external epidermis, and a bacteria can jump onto your body and you can have a problem. Yeah, those things exist. But the viral matter existing to a degree that it can be on the outside of your body and transfer to you, that's a bit of a magic trick. But they came up one day about viral transmissions. The company I was working for was considering all types of treatments, and one of them came up. It was an STD treatment drug. It was already dominated, so we didn't do that. But and someone mentioned shedding, and this doctor at lunch just looks at the other guy and goes, "You gotta be kidding me, right?" And the other guy laughed, and he was setting him up for the joke of the whole thing. And he said, and so I was like, "What are you guys talking about? I've never heard that before." And he said, it's bullshit that you can shed viruses on other people." And he said, "You know, if that was the case, no one would shake hands. No one would touch anybody, especially like, you know, migrant truckloads of people coming out of airports. You have no idea where they come from, and they may be immune to the thing that they're carrying on the outside of themselves. You never shake someone's hand from a foreign country right off a plane because they could just give you a bunch of stuff, right? Very funny to learn these kind of things. And I'll tell you, a lot of you are frustrated with your lack of knowledge of the human body. You're frustrated. You don't know what causes what. Well, you know what's awesome about that frustration is that is a rocket fuel, a special rocket fuel that you can put into educating yourself about those areas where your void exists. Like, I'm sick and tired of not knowing what insulin does and where does it come from? What's the pancreas do? What the hell does the spleen do? And so you want to read a ton of content about it. You want to read it from folks that are formal educators, and then you want to go read about patients that have had issues with that part of their body to find out whether or not any of the formal techniques were actually useful. If it's something where a medication is supposed to correct it, well, you know, he's like, don't listen to the pharma pamphlets on it. And you'll find out that a lot of things are self-induced. The TMS thing I used to mention a lot on the show, which was stress in the body causes this thing called TMS, which usually expresses itself in your lower back. What it is your mind actually starving through constricting muscles, oxygen, and normal blood flow to a mass of your muscle. And your lower back is, because it is so thin before your spinal cord starts, is so thin between the muscle tissue that it's a very easy place to cause pain. And it's caused by a trauma of an event that's either PTSD'd into your past, which means you've lost the event in your mind, but you have the pain of it, or it's something you know about. And they did an episode on this on MASH once where Hawkeye had excruciating back pain because he had a trauma in his life, but they didn't call it TMS at the time that I know of. The only reason why I know about it was I bought a book that I don't know what I thought this book was about. It was a book on tape, I think, and it was huge. It was like 7 files or whatever, and it was just riveting. And they talked about starting TMS clinics where you would come in with lower back pain and they'd put you through basically psychotherapy and they'd find out what the hell happened to you. And all of a sudden back pain would go away. And they had over an 80% success rate in people canceling exploratory surgery or back surgery because it was a mental issue. Now, if you're a general contractor, a construction worker, a lifter, you probably have the real thing. But you probably have an acute event in your past where you got a box dropped on you, you try to do something you weren't supposed to do, and you probably have a couple hernias too. Here's what I think we should probably expect, and I don't think this is news to you, but perhaps using this classification and this sort of funny acronym will make it easier for us to notice and pass on the information, which is we should expect the sheer amount of NPCs that we have to interact with accelerate and increase. Maybe the recent treatment over the last 2 years contributes to it tremendously. Maybe that doesn't have any effect on it. But before we move on too far, towards the end here, I want to just itemize what I think are some of the symptoms of an NPC. And this won't be, none of these things should be a mystery to you guys at all. I mean, you're going to know all these things. However, not all of these behaviors may be lumped into so vividly the container of an NPC. And I think that distinction for you will help you laser in on how to, one, identify a sort of the subjects that you can study. I mean, it would be one of these things where in the normal world, you bump into an NPC in public through whatever means, maybe one's in your family, whatever, one's at work, and you're annoyed by their presence. But now you turn them into a scientific experiment in your own mind. I want to be by you a little bit more because I want to see just how weird you behave. And maybe I declassify you out of that because I was just mistaken by something you said or a behavior that you exhibited, right? So again, we know about the classic meme definition of this acronym. That is someone getting paid handsomely to behave as if they have no mind of their own. Maybe they don't, maybe they do, but they're being paid to do the circus act, right? The most dangerous on the personal side of the game, because they're the most dangerous, anyone who's got media attention, who's repeating what comes over the AP Reuters sound wave machine, obviously in the personal citizen realm of the world, it is the individual that it lacks original thought. They simply believe everything that they're told as if they live in that Rick Gervais movie, Invention of a Lie. Now, obviously, when a child is young, you can do all kinds of things to a child. And they have to rely on you. So corrupting a child, intentionally especially, can only be, you know, surmounted by physical abuse, right? Because the mental abuse will program them for failure for their entire life, as well as, you know, an acute abuse physically. But let's just say you're like Jack Torrance and you accidentally break Danny's arm, like in the story of The Shining. The kid's arm could heal and daddy could say, "I will never drink again. I am so sorry. What I did was wrong. I hope you still love me. I still love you." And they could repair that and it could move on. But you program a kid to think wrong, they have to find the error in their code through failures, most likely. And then they have potentially decades to get it out of their system. So how do we identify people that can't think for themselves? Well, the easy one is that they immediately repeat everything they see on the news as if and with the passion that it's their thought. "Oh my God, you hear Putin, how horrible, gosh, and you're just like, oh my God." Now tell me how you understand the last 1,000 years of that region in the world. Go ahead, I'll wait, you know. But I think the other ones are sort of subtleties. They're like glitches in the matrix. You'll have individuals that one moment say one thing, and then just maybe half an hour later, they say the complete opposite and don't acknowledge the fact that they were on the complete opposite side of the spectrum just a few moments ago. I've experienced that one as well. It is a true mind-blowing experience when you experience that. I've even had individuals I've worked with in the past that I'll say, "Well, that's cool, but didn't you just say do the opposite?" And they'll just sit there and look at you like, "What? I didn't say that." But you know, they're witnessed by two or three other people. It's a very strange thing. And sometimes, because folks are non-confrontational, they don't dispute it. Sometimes you have to dispute things. Not all the time, but sometimes you got to dispute things because it's going to be a problem. One of the more subtle ones, although it can be apparent, but you ignore it so quickly that sometimes you don't take inventory of it. And that is when you really see that sort of mouth open, deer eyed person in the world, standing in a crowd, standing in public, serving you food, pretending to be a nurse, meaning the people that are, they don't even have the job in the medical industry. And like, "Hey, would you like to give people injections?" "Sure. Okay, whatever you want, you know." We tend to pass them up. I think the degradation in the brain, especially if it's a close person and you know their eating regimen, the lack of exercise, their alcohol abuse, their drug abuse in general, right? And you start to see them just deteriorate. And we're taught to never say anything. And sometimes, you know, if it's just some stranger in public, I understand. It's a sad thing. You can't, unless you're running a clinic to help people and they happen to walk through the front door, you just got to let them live their life, right? But back to the table for 1 second of the people that are trying to make all this true. They're trying to create these NPCs to then walk off the cliff. There's a big debate that we're not supposed to have, because it depends on your religious convictions as to whether or not you allow yourself to have this thought. And Alfred Hitchcock had a movie called The Rope that dealt with this in a really big way. And I told you guys about in a previous episode, which I won't repeat here, but there are intellectuals that essentially say to themselves, why should we try to save the dumb people? They're just a resource-sucking resource on the universe, and they produce nothing but more children that are exactly like them. Now, the true answer buttled to that proposition is they're only dumb because you allowed the education system to get bad. They're only dumb because you're chemically giving them a bunch of stuff that destroys them. And because, you know, good food and good nutrition cost money, they may have absolutely no access. They know what's good for them, but they can't access it because they don't have the money in the bank. That's a problem too. But we are probably all sitting here, and I mean, it's rough. I think some of you have had the regiment to keep your jobs. You listen to the show regularly. You're awake. But for whatever reason, you were forced into the situation. You live in a country that is very militant about it. I get it. I mean, I would personally, coming from America, I've got different programming in my mind. It's a different set of options. I watched a video of, you guys have probably seen it, it's a compilation video of a bunch of news reporters who are dropping dead on camera, having just recently been regimented. And I'm sitting there watching this thing, and of course, these are the official NPCs, right? And I will tell you, honestly, I couldn't muster a single ounce of sympathy for these people. And I know that they, in probably nearly all the cases, they're just people that aren't evangelists for the pharma companies. They're just doing their job and they believe what they're told and they've just been sucker punched. But the second half of the last video I saw like this were all the family members having convulsions in cars in front of their children. Getting basically they're dead on the ground and someone's trying to give them CPR. But they're long gone. Their soul is free. That angers me. An adult giving a child this stuff when the child is looking towards the adult to get protection. That angers me. That's just my opinion. It's how I react to it. And that's really I want to qualify that. That is my instinctual reaction without knowing anything about those situations. Liars lie, don't they? And you get good at what you do. Whatever you do is what you get good at. And that's where we have to take inventory of ourselves, right? Now, the opposite side of this whole game is that we want to live a relaxed, peaceful life. And I know that a lot of you have now realized this, especially in the last 2 years. You don't relax when you can't trust anything that you get from the outside world. It used to be that if you just turned your TV off, you could subtract 98% of all the bad crap coming in the door. But nowadays, they've got everybody so activated that you can't walk outside without seeing it. You know, a friend of mine owns a business in town, and she was talking about putting a particular blue gold flag in her window. On all the other subjects that I've ever talked to her about, she's completely awake. But on this one, she didn't do her homework because she's really busy, and she fell into this one. So I'm talking to her, I'm leaving her place of business, and she rattled off something about the economy being bad. And so I let her have it. I just said, well, you better hope the other guy wins in that blue-yellow area. Boy, I saw her face just go, what? Like, I mean, I've never seen this look on her face ever. And so I quickly just rattled off 4 or 5 things that she didn't know. And I walked away, and I remember thinking, tomorrow should be really interesting. And I saw her today and it was fine, but very, very interesting. We didn't want our lives to turn into these, ballets of dancing constantly or we don't eat, dancing constantly or we can't pay our bills or whatever it is, dancing so we can have just a moment of peace. Not more than 50 years ago, this wasn't necessary for most of humanity. I really, really, really believe that. I mean, globally. And part of the way that you can verify this is looking at old movies. If society was completely different, I mean, you know, movies are filmed all over the world, you know, you would see these regiments. And I think, you know, obviously the Western countries are completely drunk on stupidity of working too much. And we're not made for this level of grind. And we're not made for this level of losing constantly the basics of life, right? You know, trying to figure out what food am I going to eat today because it's all bad. That kind of thing, right? And so it's important to custom fit a recipe for your life that takes into account all of this stuff. And that, you know, the number one thing we talk about all the time, I haven't talked about this in a while, so I'll just go through this. This has been mentioned several times in several different ways. But you have to shut off the negative input, especially the stuff that's bad information. I mentioned a couple times, but I'm going to mention again because I see it all the time. You and I don't watch normal television, do we? You shouldn't. You shouldn't under any circumstance watch normal television. But what you'll see is when you go up on your truth sites, they will take that shit that you don't want to see and they'll repost it inside some feed somewhere. And then tell you how stupid it was that someone said the thing that they said in that video. So you push it to go, well, how dumb are they? And then you just injected that crap straight in your brain. I do a lot of blocking on Twitter because I follow someone who's pretty good at posting stuff or liking stuff. And this happens in a lot of different places, a lot of different social media areas. But once stuff, people start carrying crap from the bad place to the front place, what I can do is block the sub person that they're sharing. So if they happen to share that person's post, I don't see it. Because the majority of what they share is pretty good. Cutting that off will cut off a lot of the panic in your system. Guarantee it. Your physical regimen is huge. I'll give you a couple different ways to look at it. You know you should be eating good food, which means anything that's got synthetics in it, anything that's modified, don't eat it. Do your best. Don't put water in your mouth. If it's got the chemical, it's going to screw with your brain. Now, I know it's tough. You can't drink anything in public. Well, if you don't brush your teeth with it and you don't adjust it at home and you do dilute the crap out of your supply with decent pH balanced water, you're going to be all right. Remember, lemon balances your pH the second it touches your saliva. Okay, it's really good for you. Don't put it directly on your teeth. Use a straw, but old people putting that on their teas and stuff, it wasn't just to get a little sweetness. It was medicine. It was written in biblical passages, but then it was interpreted away from the word lemon. A lot of lemon fasting books will quote that. I don't know off the top of my head, but I did the cover of a book, several covers of books back in 2003. And one guy wrote this really famous lemon fasting book he's making a ton of money off of. And he was very, very wealthy and very connected to that other side of the coin, man. And he was doing colloidal silver and a bunch of other stuff. And I've shared with you everything he told me. But the other one is to get your body moving. That's huge. Some of you work on your feet, probably more than you want. I understand how that can get the opposite regimen. But what's going to be interesting about you working on your feet and you're like, oh man, my feet hurt, my back hurts or whatever. Get better shoes if your back hurts. But you're not going to end up in a wheelchair in your elderly years unless you apply some other regimen to yourself, which accelerates that decay. But a lot of us are, I mean, I move around a lot physically. But if I sit and grind on 3D for 4 or 5 hours and I stand up, I can feel my body going, yeah, you should have done this like 3 hours ago. Your body is a tubular mechanism that when you fold tubes, what happens to a garden hose, right? Water doesn't come through. Well, you fold your legs at your knees without extending, without legs out, legs down, legs over your pelvis, then back down. If you don't let that blood flow, your body's immune system is not going to be circulating through your body properly. Taking supplements, if you know you're not organically ingesting decent levels of vitamin C. And again, it's got to be organic if you're going to get it. But just taking a good shot, because we have to boost our immune systems right now in life, because they're giving us so much crap. If you're not taking zinc every day, go get yourself some zinc pills. I do the brand Solar Ray. It's the word solar with A-Y at the end. They're white bottles. Sometimes they're transparent. A little rainbow stripe on the top. Best brand I've ever bumped into. Anything that comes in a little Kool-Aid packet, throw in the trash, would you? Get powder time-release pills. Most good stuff for you, in fact, all good stuff for you is water-soluble, meaning you'll pee it out if you take too much. So instead of taking too much and it passing all the way through your system, you want it released into your body slowly over time. That's the regimen I use anyway. The other one is a little tougher. And it's something I always forget to really think about because I am very anti this, and that's stress. Stress, the way I describe it, is that we do have that internal chaotic self that's on the inside, what Freud called the id. I think that is truly the internal CPU of the body that has no soul consciousness down there. And so it can get very afraid of what's going on in the body if you allow stress to happen, because it's trying to help you. It's trying to defend itself. So if you allow stress to enter your life, your body can actually think you're being attacked, that you're dying, and go into all kinds of weird modes that you don't need to be activated. Now, if you're in a really perilous situation and you want those things to activate, but if you're just imagining something in your brain, you're going to have to figure out a way to not care so much. You're going to have to find a way to see the universe as a whole, as opposed to this singular dimension of existence that we're in right now. Like I said on my recent episodes, to get out of the wag the demographic problem, you need to perceive yourself as a soul, not as a body. That can add to your ability to smooth the curve of stress. If a bill's due, a bill's due, okay? It's one of the classic examples. There's been so many bills in your life that you couldn't pay. And if you had your first bill that's unpayable, listen to those of us who've had more bills than we could pay at multiple times in our lifetime. They always get paid or they always resolve themselves. My buddy just got an operation to save his life. Just before the coup hit, he had a lung problem due to an abscess tooth. And it put an infection in his lungs, because the stuff ran down his throat, went right in his lungs, and he got an infection, which caused a bunch of fluid to react in his lungs. And they had to stick a hose in the side of his body, drain out that fluid, and sew them all back up, and it was probably going to be about $100,000. Well, he finally gets the bill, and it was marked paid. This guy could have paid it off, but it would have taken him forever, even at his exorbitant salary. I mean, it would have been him giving away virtually every dime he makes for 2 or 3 years. Because he has to live too, right? But he approached the whole problem, if you want to call it that, the situation, they say not to say the word problem in life, with a positive, it's going to get worked out. And sure enough, some charity came around and paid off his bill because he didn't have insurance. Now, the other one that's real important that we don't always consider, because it depends on your personality and your life experience, go out and get a project, would you? Go get a project. I'm going to tell you that make it a creation project. Whatever it is, create something. I don't care if you've never painted on canvas. Go just get yourself a little kind of canvas, 8x10. Get yourself one of those little kits of acrylic paint. Stuff dries in 2 seconds, so you can paint on top of your old paint, and within 5 to 10 minutes, get a hairdryer, it could be 2 minutes. Do something that you used to do. Sketch. Write. Play your old guitar. And understand, you haven't played in a while. You might actually find out it's like riding a bike. You might even be better at it than you ever were. You never know. But the reason why I'm saying this is you need to create these islands in your life that are true positive beacons for you to look at every single day. You can fake it till you make it up to a certain point. But if you're not really experiencing anything positive in your life, how long could you fake it? Eventually, your brain and your body and your soul is going to go, you're not really doing anything, dude. You're just trying to convince yourself that the crappy world that you're in is better than it is. But if you put something creative in your life, then you can actually prove it to yourself. No, we're actually doing something. I'm working with a buddy of mine. He's fixing an engine. I'm helping him out. He's doing some body work. And so I don't know how to do body work, but he said, put putty in this hole. He said, sand this a little bit, you know, whatever it is. And it's a little bit better than playing a video game. I know a lot of us have something on our phones. I play probably about five games at night before I go to bed. Sounds crazy, right? Well, one of them I'm done in 30 seconds. Well, probably three of them I'm done with 30 seconds. One takes a little more time, maybe 2 or 3 minutes, and the other one probably takes about 5 minutes. That's my one. It's got a lot of options, a lot of rewards you got to collect and build up stuff. That's just something I like to do. But that is not the equivalent of me painting guitars on a local restaurant's wall for a month in between all this crazy shit. I did it because I didn't like the previous guitars I painted, and so I wanted to make them beautiful. Someone had repaired the color around the guitars and screwed them up, and so I needed to be repaired anyway. So I finally just bit the bullet. I said, you know, I don't even like these guitars. I got to come up with a new, fully original guitar. It's still missing the bridge, though. I painted the original guitars. I missed the bridge. And because the original guitars left such an imprint, a physical imprint on the wall, I really couldn't easily put the bridge in there. So no one's mentioned it yet. I can't wait. It's a musical place, so it should be kind of funny. But think about just front-loading your life with a plan, with a ritual, such that it works for you. And if you find yourself in that, it exhausts itself. You finish the project, you can't think, you don't want to do another one of that thing, maybe. Hopefully you do, but you might want to change gears, do something else. You might need to revisit this once a year. Confirm that either your plan that you set up for yourself is working, or say, nah, I don't want to do that. As far as your food supply, well, just find some grocery store that sells stuff that you approve of, some locally owned restaurant where the owners care about health. And yeah, you maybe get a couple sandwiches that are crap. You know, you're gonna, oh, man, this is pretty good. And this one sucks, you know. Talk to the owners. Get to know them. They'll want to fix the best thing for you. It's cool. And just go there repetitively. You know, I eat at the same three restaurants habitually all week long. And there's like a couple spares that are out there. But the thing is like I've been to a restaurant, one of those restaurants, I forgot my money. One of them's cash only. One of them, I just left my wallet at home. And when I have to tell the owner, oh my God, I can't even believe this. I drove all the way here and, you know, I'll come back tomorrow. I'll eat dinner again and I'll pay for the other dinner. And it's like, no problem. No problem. Don't even worry about it. In one case, the owner probably once every 2 weeks goes, yeah, this one's on me. No big deal. It's a little $10 meal. In fact, one of the places I go, the total is probably $11.50, but she just rings me up for $10. Why? Because I go every day. She's open. The other one is Big Change. You know, sometimes you're in the wrong place. You don't have any neighbors you talk to. You don't have any restaurants that you care about. And so look around. Look around while you can. If you can't afford to make that gigantic change, well, then keep looking around. Look in places you never thought. Maybe you drive an extra mile in one direction. Oh, geez, man, pizza place is the best place. Lou, who runs a pizza place, man, He's my brother now, you know? It happens, trust me. So anyway, this may very well be the last episode at this house. For those of you who've been going like, where the hell are the videos, dude? It's because of that. I've been trying to lace the episodes. Of course, when I move, this little digression will seem pointless. So I've got a few places I can record. It's going to be a little sketchy for the next couple weeks, but you know me, I can't resist. I may have to do stickless episodes. No biggie. But for instance, I'm having to change my whole habitat because a woman passed away. And so it's an interesting thing. It's a rebirth, right? I'm not going right into another place because places right now are insanely expensive. And so we're going to see if the bubble pops. It's got to pop. It's got to go down a little bit at least, right? Or the pay's got to go way up or something, right? But I feel extremely positive. That's the other weird thing. Just some innate thing is saying, look, you're being birthed. You're being birthed again. And, you know, you're going from that warm, cozy place. You've been sleeping for 9 months and now you're going to go out. I've been sleeping here for 19 years. And so I'm just, oh man, it's like a little adventure. And so I'm exchanging, okay, a lack of pressure for all the bills that I paid, live in a house, and I'm gaining that freedom on the other side. And of course, I'll get myself back involved with something that's going to be the equivalent to something else. But in the meantime, I'm just using that as fuel. The negative, the change, which is perceived as negative, is actually positive, and I'm feeding that lack of stress as a, ooh, I can wake up every day going, man, I get to keep almost all my money. That's cool. And my personal goal for this year, for 2022, is to hunker down deeper into my skill set than I ever have in the past and produce a lot of products that can be sold, that can teach people things. And so I'm very excited. But I just want to say thank you for everybody who's hung on for as long as you have through the very affluent areas of episode releases and the stalls. I really appreciate it. I'm definitely trying to push the envelope with some of this official social media. I did get on Truth Social, so you can find me over there at Deep Thoughts Radio when you get on. I was number 651,000, and it is the 24th right now, so I got on the 22nd. So if you haven't been to deepthoughtsradio.com, please go. Everything's there. I'll just leave it at that. To all the PayPal and Patreon people that hang on, really appreciate it. You make it happen. Take care of yourself and someone else, and I'll see you in the next Deep Thoughts. Over now. They seem to get erratic sometimes. You try to act logical. Sorry, reset that. They act erratic at sometimes. They act erratic at sometimes. At sometimes. What the fuck is that saying?